So we turn to the 12th chapter of Matthew. We'll read from verse 10. And behold, there was a man which had his hand withered. And they asked him, saying, Is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath days? That they might accuse him. And he said unto them, What man shall there be among you that shall have one sheep? And if it fall into a pit on the Sabbath day, will he not lay hold of it? On it and lift it out? How much then is a man better than a sheep? Wherefore it is lawful to do well on the Sabbath days. Then said he to the man, Stretch forth thine hand. And he stretched it forth, and it was restored whole, as the other. Then the Pharisees went out and held a council against him, how they might destroy him. But when Jesus knew it, he withdrew himself from thence, and great multitudes followed him, and he healed them all, and charged them that they should not make him known, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, Behold my servant whom I have chosen, my beloved in whom my soul is well pleased. I will put my spirit upon him, and he shall show judgment to the Gentiles. He shall not strive nor cry, neither shall any man hear his voice in the streets. A bruised reed shall he not break, and smoking flax shall he not quench, till he send forth judgment unto victory. And in his name shall the Gentiles trust. Then was brought unto him one possessed with a devil, blind and dumb. And he healed him, insomuch that the blind and dumb both spake and saw. And all the people were amazed and said, Is not this the son of David? But when the Pharisees heard it, they said, This fellow doth not cast out devils, but by Beelzebub, the prince of the devils. And Jesus knew their thoughts, and said unto them, Every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation, and every city or house divided against itself shall not stand. And if Satan cast out Satan, he is divided against himself. How shall then his kingdom stand? And if I by Beelzebub cast out devils, by whom do your children cast them out? Therefore they shall be your judges. But if I cast out devils by the Spirit of God, then the kingdom of God is come unto you. Or else how can one enter into a strong man's house and spoil his goods, except he first bind the strong man, and then he will spoil his house? He that is not with me is against me, and he that gathereth not with me scattereth abroad. Wherefore I say unto you, all manner of sin and blasphemy shall be forgiven unto men, but the blasphemy against the Holy Ghost shall not be forgiven unto men. And whosoever speaketh the word against the Son of Man, it shall be forgiven him. But whosoever speaketh against the Holy Ghost, it shall not be forgiven him, neither in this world, neither in the world to come. Either make the tree good, and his fruit good, or else make the tree corrupt, and his fruit corrupt. For the tree is known by his fruit. O generation of vipers, how can ye, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaketh. A good man out of the good treasure of the heart bringeth forth good things, and an evil man out of the evil treasure bringeth forth evil things. But I say unto you, that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. For by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned. Then certain of the scribes and of the Pharisees answered, saying, Master, we would see a sign from thee. But he answered and said unto them, An evil and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign, and there shall no sign be given to it, but the sign of the prophet Jonas. For as Jonas was 3 days and 3 nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth. The men of Nineveh shall rise in judgment with this generation, and shall condemn it, because they repented at the preaching of Jonas. And behold, a greater than Jonas is here. The queen of the south shall rise up in the judgment with this generation, and shall condemn it, for she came from the uttermost parts of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon. And behold, a greater than Solomon is here. Verse 46. While he yet talked to the people, behold, his mother and his brethren stood without, desiring to speak with him. Then one said unto him, Behold, thy mother and thy brethren stand without, desiring to speak with thee. But he answered and said unto him that told him, Who is my mother, and who are my brethren? And he stretched forth his hand toward his disciples and said, Behold my mother and my brethren, for whosoever shall do the will of my Father, which is in heaven, the same is my brother and sister and mother. You know, dear friends, we have at the very beginning of this chapter, the Lord Jesus going about doing good, fulfilling that which was spoken of in the 53rd of Isaiah, and that among his people, the Jews. He's the one who would heal all their sicknesses. And he was going about doing this, and those who were the leaders should have recognized the scriptures that they had, telling of the one who was to come, who would make the lame leap like a harp and make the tongue of the dumb to sing. But you know, dear friends, we have here a picture of man's heart so blind that he can't see in the midst of the noonday sun. Here was the Creator himself coming down to visit his creature and to display the goodness of his heart and to manifest the goodness of his Father toward man. And we see here a picture of our hearts, each one in this room tonight, aside from the grace of God. There isn't one who would respond if the Spirit of God did not open their heart. But the point I would like to emphasize tonight, dear friend, is that when the Spirit of God is opening your heart, are you going to respond? When he pleads with you from his precious word, are you going to respond? We find these leaders who were cultured in all that pertained to Israel's economy, and particularly their religion, which was the ones who had actually the power of life and death in their hands for the people, the Pharisees. And yet all the religion that they had brought them no closer to God. We find that religion can become a stumbling block. It becomes a tradition which probably is the strongest of all chains that bind men, that keep them from the truth. And so tonight, dear friend, I don't know each one here, but as we look at one another, we wonder how the other person was brought up. Under what religion were you brought up? But it makes no difference. No matter what training you've had, in religion or culture or whatever it may be. Your heart is never changed unless you have Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Turn with me to a verse in Luke's Gospel, the 11th chapter. It's the 52nd verse, 56th verse. It's the 52nd verse of the 11th chapter. Woe unto you lawyers, for ye have taken away the key of knowledge. Ye entered not in yourselves, and them that were entering in ye hindered, or really forbade, is the thought. How solemn this is. Those who were the leaders, the religious leaders of the people, were the ones who withstood the truth of God. Now we have a picture here of the perfect goodness of God displayed to one of his creatures. Here's a man whose arm was withered. And the Lord says, hold out your arm. And he restored it whole as the other one. Is that a reason for someone to put him to death? And we wonder, you know, we wonder at such things that men would do this. But I would like to ask you tonight, dear friend, if you were in that position, what would you have done? Is your heart any better than the other? Here we have a display of man's heart. And when the Lord Jesus was crucified on the cross of Calvary, they all said, away with him. Away with him. Crucify him. Yes, that's man's heart. That was the end of his pathway of goodness to man. And the only man that stood and gave a testimony to Jesus at that hour was the thief on the cross. Think of it. Yes, there we see a picture of man's heart. Now, it's important to see this, first of all, because, dear friend, there's no reason for you to want anything further unless you have a need. And as to the things of God, your need is great. If you're unsaved tonight, you need a Savior. Not a helper, but a Savior. One who can save you from your sins. Because it's our sins that have separated between us and our God. And hid His presence from us. And those sins must be put away. Do you know remedy? I only know one. And that we were singing about tonight, the precious, precious blood of Jesus shed on Calvary. Do you know of any other? Do you know of any other basis upon which you can stand before a holy God and say, my sins are gone and I know it? No, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. And now we find the leaders in this chapter, 14th verse, they're going about to kill him. They forsook that key of knowledge. What's that? Well, it's wisdom, of course. You get that in the book of Proverbs. But in the 8th chapter of Proverbs, you have wisdom personified. It's Jesus. Yes, He has made unto us wisdom. There is none other. And dear friend, if you're going to have any wisdom at all as to eternal things, it'll be from the one who has that wisdom and who is that wisdom. And we need wisdom in order to understand. And no matter how much knowledge you have, it'll do you no good, dear friend, unless you have the key of knowledge. And that's Jesus. That's wisdom. And so, are you one of wisdom's children tonight? That poor sinful woman in the 7th of Luke was one of wisdom's children. And wisdom's children are those who have availed themselves of God's provision for salvation, and that the precious blood of Christ. There is no other name given under heaven among men whereby we must be saved than that precious name of Jesus. And that name is above every other name, and the day is coming when publicly Jesus will be exalted above every name. And what will you do then if you have rejected him? What will you do? You'll have no Savior. And before you lies the blackness of darkness forever. But did the attitude of these Pharisees change the heart of God? No, the Lord Jesus just goes out and he heals all that are sick. Notice the next verse. He heals them all, it says in the 15th verse. Can't change the heart of God. He healed all. Oh, that love of God goes out and he's going out to you tonight if you want it. You can be healed. All. And so tonight we can announce whosoever will may come. But something very solemn is taking place in this chapter. The leaders of the people, representing the people, are rejecting their Messiah. And so the Lord Jesus begins to quote from Isaiah. Because in Isaiah, we have prophesied the blessing for Gentiles. And in the next chapter, which we won't turn to, there are a series of parables, likenesses of the kingdom of heaven. But those who are to understand those precious truths, those truths that kings and righteous men have desired to see and hear and never saw them or heard them in former days, those who are going to understand and enter into those precious truths of the kingdom of heaven, there must be two things they must have or told in this chapter, as we'll see in a moment. Or they'll never enter into or understand the things that have to do with the kingdom of the heavens or the rule of the heavens. Because there's a day coming, you know, dear friends, when Christ is going to reign as King. King of kings and Lord of lords. And there's a sense today in which he's reigning in his absence. And all those who own him in his absence are found to be in that order of blessing, the kingdom in mystery. They've owned him as their Savior and their Lord. And the day is coming when he'll come for all of us who own him as Savior and Lord. And he'll take us home to be with him forever. That's the blessed hope of the believer. Do you have that hope? Well, we find the heart of man exposed then, and we find the heart of God exposed. But dear friends, it wasn't just that he came to heal the sick and cleanse the leper, to raise the dead. Precious. And in all that goodness, no, he came to provide a groundwork of blessing for your soul and mine, that there never would be a question again of our standing, if we believe. In his death at Calvary's cross, he gave himself, shed his precious blood. He met all the claims of a sin-hating God that were against us. He paid the full debt so that we might be free. Have you thanked him for this? Have you owned him as your own personal Savior? And so we see the blessing going out to the Gentiles. And it says in the 20th verse, a bruised reed shall he not break, and a smoking flax shall he not quench, till he send forth judgment unto victory. Well, this speaks of state of soul. The least little movement towards him will be recognized. He knows your heart. And if in that seat where you're sitting, you just own Jesus right now, he'll notice it. Of course, Scripture says, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. But the least little movement towards him, he'll recognize it. And something else. The smoking flax. Have you ever seen flax burning? It burns from the inside out. And you'll see the smoke slipping out through the end of the flax. I see a farmer shaking his head, right? Because he's burnt flax. Yes? Inside there's something going on. God knows it. And as you sit there tonight, God knows exactly what's going on in your heart. Have you taken Jesus as your Savior? Have you owned yourself as guilty and lost and undone and just taking Jesus as your Savior? Well, He'll notice it. The least little movement. And in His name shall the Gentiles trust. You know, I'm thankful for that verse. Because I believe that most in this room tonight are Gentiles. By nature. And if we didn't have something like this, we wouldn't have any hope, would we? No, Joseph is a fruitful bough that whose branches go over the wall. The blessing has reached beyond the Jew. And tonight it's whosoever will may come. No one needs to turn away because He will not turn anyone away who comes to Him. Because He says, He that cometh to Me, I will in no wise cast out. Have you come to Jesus? I spoke to a man at the end of a gospel meeting one night. And I said, are you saved? He said, no. I said, do you want to be? He said, yes. I says, why don't you confess Christ as your Savior then? He said, I'm too timid. I'm too timid. But you know, that night he confessed Christ as his Savior, and then he went around the room telling everyone about it. Yes, he did. He thought he was too timid. Oh, dear friend, won't you take Christ as your Savior tonight? It's only Satan that'll instill things like that into your mind. Too timid. When your soul is at stake, your eternity, your eternal happiness, dear friend, do you know that you were created with a capacity for every joy? It was God's purpose that man would enter into blessing. And although in the first creation there was a fall, God's counsels and purposes were that man might have eternal blessing of such an order that the eye or the ear could never enter into it, could only be understood as the Holy Spirit opens it to us. Marvelous blessings that the natural man will never enter into. But they're for you tonight if you take Jesus. And He's prepared man for this. That is, He created him in view of this, that he might have eternal happiness. Are you going to miss it? You'll have it with Jesus, but you won't have it without Jesus. He's God's Son. And He could say, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by Me. And you know the Father is the source of all joy. And if you take Jesus, He'll take you to the Father, who is the source of all joy. But now we have a picture before us of an Israelite, a man who was dumb, blind and dumb. And oh, how simple. The Lord heals him. Now this is a picture of what he would have done to Israel. Because immediately the people began to speak about the Son of David. Because the blessing was to come through the Son of David. And the whole nation of Israel could have been blessed in this way as this poor man. Because this was actually a picture of Israel. They were blind and they were dumb. But it's not only Israel, dear friend, it's everyone in this room tonight who's unsaved, blind before God and dumb. Can't see their way, cannot answer again, because they have no capacity for it. That's where sin has left man. No response to God. And now the Lord heals him. The people say, is this not the son of David? And now what happens? Oh, these Pharisees who would forbid others to enter in, they would not enter themselves. This is solemn. And the Lord Jesus says in the 28th verse, if I cast out devils by the Spirit of God, then the kingdom of God is come unto you. This was something new. This was not known in the Old Testament, the kingdom of God. In the Old Testament, men knew nothing about the new order of things, except, of course, there was the subject of new birth taught. But what is the kingdom of God? Righteousness, peace, joy in the Holy Ghost. Do you have this tonight? Well, this is what is introduced by the gospel. The law and the prophets were until John. After that, the kingdom of God is preached. And now we find the kingdom of God here in the person of Christ. He's the one who introduces it in this chapter. And he said, if I cast out demons, it really should be demons. If I cast out demons by the Spirit of God, then the kingdom of God is come unto you. Now that leaves man in the place of responsibility. If the revelation of God has come to him, he must do something about it. And dear friend, if you go out of this room tonight unsaved, you have rejected the gospel of the grace of God. But if you simply say, yes, Lord Jesus, take him as your Savior, you have received the message that God has sent, and you have received the sent one, Jesus. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word, believeth on him that sent me, hath everlasting life, and shall not come into judgment, but is passed from death unto life. Righteousness, divine righteousness given to the one who believes in Jesus, on the basis of the redemption that was in Christ Jesus. And peace through that precious blood that was shed. There's no peace outside of it. And that joy that comes when the Spirit of God comes to indwell the believer. In you and shall be with you forever is the portion of the believer. And that is the eternal joy that we spoke of before. 29th verse, or else how can one enter into a strong man's house and spoil his goods except he first bind the strong man? And then he will spoil his house. And so the Lord Jesus meets Satan in the wilderness. And with three scriptures, he binds him. Binds the strong man. And then he goes out to spoil his house. And we have seen the examples here in this chapter as he heals that man who was withered, who had been bound by Satan. And the poor man who was blind and dumb, who was bound by Satan. Now, the Lord Jesus delivers them. He can deliver you tonight from your sin. Because, you know, people speak of sins and saying, yes, everyone has sinned. But the Word of God says, be sure your sin will find you out. Your sin. If you're unsaved tonight, you've got something on your conscience, haven't you? And it will find you out, too. And oh, if it could only find you out now, so you can cry to the Savior and have all your sins put away forever. But now we go down a little in the chapter, 38th verse. Then certain of the scribes and the Pharisees answered, saying, Master, we would see a sign from thee. But he answered and said to them, An evil and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign, and there shall no sign be given to it, but the sign of the prophet Jonas. And what was that sign? Judgment. Jonas was sent to the city of Nineveh. I believe it was 40 days was his message, and Nineveh would be destroyed. That's a solemn message. But dear friends, tonight we have a similar message that God has appointed a day when he will judge this world in righteousness by that man that he's ordained, and he's given witness to all men that he's raised him from the dead. What do you think those men will say who crucified the Lord Jesus when they see him risen from the dead? Our blessed Savior not only died and was buried, but he is risen, and he's at God's right hand tonight. Jesus. And he's up there so he can bless you from heaven. If you'll only take him. Yes, he's given a witness. What a solemn witness. And you know, the early disciples, they preached Jesus and the resurrection. Ah, this would strike terror into the hearts of the enemies, that they were going to have to face the one that they had slain, the resurrection. Dear friend, you're going to stand before God someday. And you know, people speak of the great white throne, and there will be a judgment of the dead then. But the Word of God tells us about a judgment of the living, when the slain will lie from one end of the earth to the other. And that's going to be soon. Soon. The judgment of the living. Because as soon as the church is gone, judgment will begin. And you may not have very many more moments left, dear friend, before the church will be gone. The Lord Jesus said, Behold, I come quickly, and he may come tonight. He may come before this meeting is over. Are you ready? Are you ready for the Savior? Have you put your trust in that precious blood? Do you have a covering? A covering to cover you? The precious blood of Christ? But you know, the Lord adds something to this. He said, For as Jonas was 3 days and 3 nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth. And what does that tell us? It tells us that the Lord Jesus, much as saying, I'm going to take that judgment for you, you will just believe. I'm going to go down and take that judgment that belongs to you, if you'll only believe. But what next? The men of Nineveh give an example to us here tonight. What do? They shall rise in judgment with this generation, he said. Verse 41, and shall condemn it because they repented at the preaching of Jonas, and behold, a greater than Jonas is here. They repented. Have you? There's no true salvation without repentance. Repentance itself is not salvation. But there's no salvation without repentance. No, salvation comes through trusting in the precious blood of Christ. But repentance is seeing myself as God sees me in his presence. And when Peter in the 5th chapter of Luke got into the presence of Jesus and he saw that miraculous draught of fishes, he says, "Depart from me, I am a sinful man, O Lord." Because he realized he was in the presence of God. Oh, that God would make you realize tonight, dear friend, that you're in his presence. Because as you hear the word of God, he brings you into his presence. And you're going to have to answer to the word of God. So we have here the repentance at the preaching of Jonas. And all he preached was judgment. Judgment. It's a little picture of Nineveh in a coming day, you know. Assyria is going to be blessed as one of the three nations that will be blessed on the earth in a special way. And Nineveh here is a little picture of what's coming. They repented. They repented at the preaching of judgment. But we have a better message tonight, dear friends, than the preaching of judgment. Although we do preach judgment, we are offering you tonight, on the basis of the Word of God, salvation through that precious blood. And your sins and iniquities will be remembered no more if you take Jesus. Never again will they be brought up. They're gone. Once and for all, put away by that work at Calvary. And so that if you simply believe tonight, you might have eternal life. But now we have one more person brought in who is a Gentile. We notice it's all Gentile here. Because he's introducing a new line of things. We have the Queen of Sheba. And what is so remarkable about the Queen of Sheba? Well, you know, she was a heathen queen. She lived a long way from Jerusalem. But she'd heard a report about the true God. And she heard a report about the man who could tell her about the true God. And she made her way to Jerusalem, to Solomon. Now here's a woman who was true to the light that she received. Are you true to the light that you have received? You dear young people here tonight, brought up in Christian homes, had every advantage, not like the Queen of Sheba, living in that moral darkness that she was, and yet she sees one little taper burning. She says, "I'm going to follow it." And she hears about the true God. And she had her heart satisfied. Now, she didn't hear what you hear. She got a message. She believed it. And her heart was satisfied. How about it? Have you responded to the message of salvation? The Lord Jesus could say in his day, "We have piped unto you, and ye have not danced. We mourn to you and you've not wept." What does he mean? No response whatsoever from the heart to the Savior. Is that true of you tonight? Is there not one little bit of response to the Savior for all that he's done? Not simply the goodness of going around healing the sick and cleansing the lepers, but laying his life down in death. You might live. Shedding his precious blood to pay the debt that you owed. If you believe, you can have the Savior tonight. You can have him tonight. Behold, now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation. What effort have you made toward the gospel? I suppose it was at least 1,200 miles for the Queen of Sheba. By camelback, perhaps. perhaps 30 miles a day across the desert sands. Just to hear the wisdom of Solomon about the true God. And here, dear friends, you have been sitting in the seats at gospel meetings time and time again, and no response from your heart for Jesus. No time for Jesus. No answer from your hearts. Is it so? I know of one woman that was 60 years old, had been in the meeting, sitting in the meeting, not breaking bread, but sitting in the meeting till she was 60 years old before she said, I want to be saved. 60 years old. Well, God in mercy saved her, but He won't guarantee that for you. Think of what you're missing by not having your heart satisfied. By not having that burden of sin rolled away. And it can be rolled away tonight if you'll take Jesus. And so the Queen of Sheba steps down from her throne. And she goes across that desert with a burning desire for the truth. And she got an answer for it. So there are two things, dear friends, to understand the mysteries of the kingdom in the next chapter. There must be repentance, and there must be a burning desire for the truth of God. Is it so with you? Now in the 46th verse. While he yet talked to the people, behold, his mother and his brethren stood without, desiring to speak with him. Then one said unto him, behold, thy mother and thy brethren stand without, desiring to speak with thee. But he answered and said unto him that told him, who is my mother? Who are my brethren? And he stretched forth his hand toward his disciples and said, behold, my mother and my brethren, for whosoever shall do the will of my Father, which is in heaven, the same is my brother and sister and mother. And what does this scripture teach us? There's entirely new relationships. No longer on the basis of a people called out as a special people on earth, the Jew, in outward relationship to God at a distance, but those who do the will of his Father. Now, what is the will of God? Are we told in the Word of God what we should do? What the will of God is? Indeed, we are. Turn to the 6th chapter of John's Gospel. Verse 28. Then said they unto him, what shall we do that we might work the works of God? Jesus answered and said unto them, this is the work of God, that ye believe on him whom he hath sent. Oh, how precious. How simple the gospel message is for you. But it wasn't simple for Jesus. Ah, no. The Lord Jesus died on Calvary's cross. He was crucified because he was taking the place of the sinner. But for you tonight, this is the will of God, that you believe on him whom he has sent. Do you know, dear friend, that your time is passing on? You may not have very many moments left. And the next thing will be, you'll be standing face to face with Jesus Christ. Either as your Savior or your judge. And you're making the decision. And you may be making your final decision tonight, dear friends, of either receiving him or rejecting him. And if you go out of the door tonight, Without having received Christ as your Savior, you have rejected Him again. Don't do it, dear friends. It says, desire that all men might be saved, and that they might come to the knowledge of the truth. Won't you tonight receive Christ as your personal Savior? It might be your last opportunity. Do it tonight.